Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen. This evening, I will again ask you to turn to Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 9. Last night, I spake from first 8 verses, and today I continue from 9th, ending on end of 15, verse 15. We perhaps don't hear this text too often, but I have freedom to speak of it, for it is written in God's Word for our learning. And this is when Matthew, Levi, known also by other name, is called to be a follower of Jesus. I read these words in Jesus' name. Matthew 9, starting from verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office or booth or receive customs. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat eating in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Instead of reading and following two verses, I leave it here. So we ended in verse 13, end of 13. And Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. One of the harmful effects that we face in life as Christians, I don't say that it's so harmful, but it is painful rather, that Christianity is often lumped with other religions, that it is no different than other religions, but it is as different as heaven is from the earth, as water is from the air, and as fire is from ice. For Christianity and teachings that uplift the dead come from above, as everything that comes from beneath is simply man's ideas and search for God that he does not know. In essence, there are no people without religion. But what God offers to him is foreign. It is not acceptable. Pharisees included amongst the people that God had elected to show his grace upon humanity long time ago, who up to be a system of works, where the best simply believed that if they do their best, God will look upon them with favor. Amongst people that were there were not so good people. And those that thought themselves better than others, they looked down upon them as nobodies. They are simple people who know not the law and therefore are cursed. But the religions of man, they all end up in this, the works of man and ideas of man. A man saves somehow himself makes him acceptable to God by making amends and doing good. Whereas Christianity is simply that it is on the expense of another. Otherwise, what God has done for us and which he wants us to receive is the basis of Christianity. And as such, it is not accepted. It is foolishness. When you look how Jesus goes about and selects his disciples, there were many that were following him, even by this time. But how he chooses, like amongst them now, is Matthew, the religious person who perhaps would be allowed to do this choosing. What kind of people would you choose? Who would ever choose Matthew, a tax collector, who cannot even be a witness at court, who is hated because he actually works for a foreign government, and a reputation of such people is simply they afflict pain. They take from ones who can least afford it. They play favorites with those that they know. So it is like becoming a teacher's pet. And Jesus selects one of those. We can never say that Matthew was elected because he was good. Neither should we think that he was elected because he was so bad. But to manifest God's grace upon human being, what God's grace can do to the ones that are actually enemies of people and come in thinking, and also in essence, enemies of God. Those that are young amongst us, and I would say, let's start with this. Sometime back, I was at the hospital. A mother was delivering a child, and I think it was our Anita. And I marvel when nurses come out from a delivery room, and they are so excited, and later to see a doctor and so forth. But nurses are delighted that child is born, and you wonder, they see childbirthing time and time again. And I ask one nurse who worked night shift many years, and I ask even the reason. There was one nurse who had 12 children. What's the reason that nurse can be so happy when there's a child born? And this nurse told me, Arvo, most of the people I know just know me by Arvo. And she said that when a child is born healthy, it is a wonderful news to bring to a mother and to father. But when there are complications and when they are severe, they are partakers of that pain which will instantly touch the ones that will get the news. Today's world we live today, conscience is so hardened by any means that we in essence want to select what we want. So if there's anything undesirable in a womb of a mother, there are mothers and even fathers-to-be who simply say, we just get rid of it. But it was not so long ago. I want to tell another story, a true story. I was asked one of the members, I respect him a great deal from years back, and so he asked me, Arvo, would I come to Michigan Tech? We live close to a technological university, and there's a national organization of women. They have a meeting, and students will come, and they will give their spiel to the students. Now, would you just come and see what's going on? So there I went with Don, and sitting there, there were three women giving their case. One was a social worker, one was a Lutheran pastor, a woman pastor, matter of fact, carrying a title, a doctorate. And third one, I don't recall her profession, but there were three women. And they were talking what happened, so whether like abortion and so forth, and saying that you have young girls, 14, 16, and instead of destroying their life more or less years to come, that it is okay to give them life, a new beginning for to live their life. Young pastor, doctor, more or less said that he's in accordance with this, and whatever reasons there were, I don't exactly recall. And then the third one had also a point. The students spoke with these representatives at length, and finally I raised my hand that I have something to say. I was perhaps the oldest in the audience, and my heart again was just ready to come out of my chest. I don't like confrontations. But it's one of those moments when you have to. I remember, do you bear with me? I talked to a nurse, more or less, I think it was, that was her profession as a nurse. That was the third woman. Anyway, when you suck a child of a mother's womb, all that mess, and you have a plate of tissue and blood, you count legs, hands, head, and so forth. It is more than just tissue. To a woman, pastor, I mentioned to her that, if I remember right, that just 20 years, this is quite a while back, I said 20 years ago, it would be maybe 50 by now, but even I said that you could not be a pastor in a Christian church with the attitude you have. And then a social worker dealing with a young woman and so forth. And very oftentimes the simply men and young men are left out. And they got mad at me. They wanted to know who I am. So sternly, I'm a pastor. I didn't quite say it bad, that bad, but I did kind of back off a little bit. I'm a pastor. And today I would say, add to it, I deal with the souls of men. The most important thing there is in life. We stand before God. After they were upset with me, an interesting thing happened amongst the students. One after another, they stood up. Why did you ask his name and his profession? You never ask us who we are. And that meeting kind of split up. Later, a girl, young girl came to me, maybe a couple of them even, and this is no feather to my hat, but I remember it so vividly. And again, I prefer simply, thank you for speaking up. Many are the quiet of the land. They see the injustice done. But what we don't see oftentimes in Christian life, how we do the injustice when we see the outward, but we don't understand how God approaches human beings in this love that is revealed in Jesus. Because when Jesus comes, he simply brings the kingdom of God to our presence. And that kingdom of God at that moment is not selective. It is simply searching kingdom, that people would hear the truth and know in this light that has come what life is all about. And that's where Matthew comes in. He's a human being. And if you scale the fish before you get it, you know what happens. And even the hunters, they say that it's better to have one partridge than 10 on a limb. And God approaches human beings different than we do. And that's where most of our church splits and problems come from. Because we have an idea of God and righteousness in such a small place that we forget the very drive of Jesus, that he simply came to serve and to bring the truth. And the matter was not in his hands. It is simply that Father has given you to me. And you cannot see Father unless I reveal him. But I cannot reveal him unless you take my words and my love and purpose seriously. Starting with hurts a little bit in life and maybe taking these children again. Now, what news it is when you know that your child is not well? The agonies of parents that receive the words. Which don't, to begin with, anyway, bring any comfort. They only bring wailing and gnashing. A trashing, so to speak. Let me just say that the Holy Spirit allows me to do this. So I remember going to hospital. Two events, how we look at in Christianity, two people that we divide. I was called to hospital, and the hospital nurses know that I'm apostolic Lutheran church pastor, and there was a man had a hemorrhage in head and not so long to live perhaps, but in emergency to a family that should be called a pastor. So she called me. I was living close by. So I went there, and right away they saw that I didn't belong to their group. And I asked in that sort of a stressful, painful situation, could I at least say a prayer? And I never forget the words. They came from wife. And she said, no. Young other mother, her child was instantly killed in an automobile accident there in a canal road. And she was hysterical. They call again, Pastor, would you come? So I called there on the value of human life and how we get these news and what it does to us. But anyway, they called me. She would not take any medication to calm down. She would laugh and carry on, and then she would cry and scream. And it is mysterious sometimes when you come with the words of prayer and love, and she knew that I'm a pastor. She calmed down and took the medicine and calmed down. Relief to those that work with her, and also relief to my spirit. But what do we know about Matthew? A human being that is afflicting, suffering, and God forbid, when you think about today, even taxation and various customs. Everything, you turn around and you have to pay tax. And you love money so much that you don't want to give any away. But fraud and misuse of things is another thing. Would you today, let's put Matthew's profession to be an abortionist. One of the, God forbid, but I forgot his name now. But he had performed perhaps 2,000-3,000 abortions. And as he was pushing this needle down to the mother's tummy to give that saline solution that actually burns a child in a womb, that needle begins to move. And at that moment, he realized there is a little one that is being hurt and wants to avoid that pain. And that was his last abortion. God's hand touched him through a pain of another. The smallest one whose voice was not yet heard. Jesus did not come to call righteous, not those that are well, but those that are sick. And in this framework, which one of us is healthy? Our understanding of God and Him coming to us and knowing our learned lessons so well that we actually become proud because we know so much. But very often times, that humility, which was reflected at least in part like Apostle Peter later in the house of Cornelius, when he actually said to this man that was making homage to him, "Stand up, I also am a man, and I may say only a man. Who has come to your life that has changed your life and attitude toward life and to people that you meet? If it is an attitude you look down upon somebody because you see their shortcomings, one sitting at a toll booth and causing pain, you take measures to save your pennies and you go out speaking evil of that man. At the same time, you don't necessarily know that God wants his salvation too. And there's a, talking about a little bit of pain that human beings have, I asked our host family, Pastor Elmer and Miriam, that a little bit about the Helen Keller. But the reason was that you have heard that name before, but there are some other names before that. And I'm not propagating anything that she stands for as a human being. I only want to uplift Christ and God's truth. But behind these people that we hear and have kind of become famous in nation and in throughout the world, what they have accomplished and where they come from, but they are oftentimes names and people that we don't know. At 17, I asked what happened in 1876, and Miriam in a hurry went to a computer and they come out information, this and that. But also then a plaque was a president and so forth, that was on their wall. Ulysses Grant was president at that time. But there was a girl, 7 years old, 1876, her name was Annie Sullivan. She was practically blind, and her father left her. I don't recall reading too much about her mother, but she was simply placed as depressed and blind, whatever, no use. Father left her, she was put into some institution in Boston, way down in the quarters of a building where the war star, a little child, very withdrawn, no response, and 7 years old. In America, like you would have just a decade ago, half a decade ago in Romania or so, where a lot of orphans just don't anymore know how to cry. They have become zombies. They are dried out of their tears. Don't know what human love is, what the bosom of mother is. And there's this young child, 7 years old, and there comes a Christian, a worker to that place, and her name was Maggie Carroll. Why I remember this and why I study them at times is because they mean so much to me. They are the ones who see something that we don't see, but God does. And if we are tuned to God's ways, it simply means you don't serve yourself. You serve the humanity. You bring to them the bread, the water, and the light. You have freely received, but you now freely give. And it is free of charge. And this Maggie began to visit this little Annie there in the basement, more or less. And no response. She would read her stories and visit her in her lunchtime. She brought her a tray of brownies. And when she came back, to her delight, one was taken. One. And that was the beginning of our friendship. To a blind girl, void of friends, void of love and understanding, withdrawn from life to a cocoon. Seven years later, she went to a school of blind near Boston. 14 years old, didn't know how to read and how to write. But in a few years, she excelled in studies and became one of the famous teachers in America to teach the blind. And she was one of the instrumental teachers that found a girl named Helen Keller, who was just out of hand, could not talk, could not hear. Tender tantrums. You see them at times when we think about the value of human being like Matthew. Tender tantrums, we witness those at times. You wonder why sometimes children act the way they do. There may be more frustration and anger. Because they have not seen father and mother love one another. May your children, you that are young mothers and fathers, may they witness that affection between one another, that you respect and love one another. How do you know where Matthew came from? What had made him that he would actually sell his country and his tradition and the fellowship of others, though it may be very much ruly and so forth, but to go so far as to afflict the pain of customs? Whether it was a fishing boat coming to the shore or travelers going from east to west, Capernaum is there no more, but it's a thoroughfare that was taking place between east and west, from Mediterranean way to Syria. He most likely was one, I don't have a word for it, but he was most likely one that had heard what Jesus was saying. And he most likely witnessed that he was not partial. He simply loved. It is like 10 commandments put in a person, fulfilling 2 commandments. Love the Lord his Father to do his will. And that is the kingdom of God, to do Father's will without being pressured, but out of heart because of the love factor. As one. So he had that love. But now, that love is extended to people that are put down in society as no good. There are words in 1 John, meaningful words, when apostles later in life write about life of Jesus. Mind you that at this time already, when Jesus was in the last days then in the upper room, and they were still fighting who's the greatest. Was Jesus ever with that kind of a spirit that I'm so great? Otherwise, I am great in this, that I can become so lowly that I can reach to the worst of the worst. Matthew is one of them, so is Zacchaeus. So are these fishermen, familiar with curse words, and yet at the same time, so righteous that they don't eat anything that is unholy. They somehow know this line, what to eat, what not to eat. But get them angry and you will find a blue streak coming out of their mouth. They were very competitive and angry when that was due, so to speak. And it was man's anger. Like one time they by Samaritan border, when Samaritans would not provide what Jesus is asking at his party. And right away comes this question. We have power. Should we call fire from heaven? And you know, when we have that kind of a power, what does it make of us? Jesus would say, you don't know the spirit that is in you. I came not to call the righteous, but those that are sick. And a sick behavior is this way, and it was even in the upper room. Matthew is one of them, so is Peter, so is John, so is Nathaniel. All these apostles with their gifts and a power that Jesus had given to them. But they had yet one thing to learn, which Apostle Paul later being called would say, I know none of you, and that could extend to anybody, save Christ and him crucified. And that life cannot come without partaking of that spirit that opens your eyes, that you are not on earth for yourself and for your party and ideas. You are here on earth to do good to all men and to pray even for your enemies. And one of the signs that is lacking reminded often of this. Pray when you hurt. God doesn't want you to become revengeful. And I want that simply closes the door. Jesus later, as Matthew leaves, and we don't know exactly what had expired before, but it was simply that Matthew knows enough about teachings of Jesus and his association with ones that are outright rejected. That when Jesus talks to him, Father simply had given Matthew to Jesus. You call him. No one can come to me unless Father draws him. And he comes. Ah. No way of life, but much to learn. Much to learn, because when you begin to follow Jesus, he turns everything upside down. The greatest becomes a servant. More you have, more is required. Because it's not yours. Rightful owner is one who has your soul. And you are now his tool in life for this message of life. So in this, I kind of forgot to read what in John, 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. We have seen life from an angle that we have never seen it before. And that life simply is how Jesus conducted himself and was reaching for the poor and the needy. And bear witness and so unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When we look at calling on Matthew, and you would honestly say that, hated man. And Jesus calls him, follow me. It is... would you say startling? Now comes to my mind this doctor that had performed so many abortions. His name was Wilkie, Dr. Wilkie. And became a great advocate. Saving the little ones' lives. Man in his anger and his divisiveness leaves behind parched lands, broken relationships, and ever-increasing agony. But followers of Jesus are part of that stream that flows from the throne of God. To a tree of life, which has leaves for the healing of the nations. And the word of God is concerning his son later. Listen to him. The more we listen to God, the more we understand, then also the fellowship that took place in Matthew's home, most likely. For it came to pass, as Jesus sat eating in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Many. What did they see? What did they hear? Is not necessarily revealed. But it comes again to this, that Jesus came to help us, that we would not be destructive, but constructive. Our words like golden apples in a silver setting, properly said and fitted for the occasion. There are Pharisees and scribes, and of course they find that Jesus should not do that. So they talk to our disciples, they make use them. What do you think about your master? I think of Brother Norman. He would be one of those that would be asked, well, what do you think about Dr. Sarnivara? And the Norman would say, I love him. I love him. Well, we were students, least qualified. Whoever become perhaps helpers of others, we had our needs. And how in one occasion, for instance, students do tricks with their teachers, and we were kind of smart, I suppose, and upset the doctor a little bit. Next morning he comes back to class, and first words he says that we would forgive him. We felt pretty small. This white-haired man, having so much knowledge and so respected in the world amongst Christians for fighting for the truth, that he would ask us students to forgive him. I'm going to close with a story. I don't really know the beginning, but it's a good illustration, and I have freedom again to just to say it to you and think about it, because just recently I got a letter from a local jail where a not so young man anymore was reaping a harvest of his own plantings. But anyway, he had remembered me telling this a long time before, and kind of wanted to know it again. But he was asking my help more or less to be a go-between. But I wrote him a letter, and that's what I wrote is there. But I wrote him also this short story of God's love. How in essence, how often can we come? How often should we ask? How often do we receive your forgiven when it comes to God? Young man had left home, like many young men do. I can be captain of my own boat. I can be my own master. He went out and he was gone a long time. No communication at home, but then he got a word being outside that a mother had died. And now comes a thought. Father is living. Can I go home and see my dad? So he comes up with a plan. He writes a letter home and says that, Father, I would like to come home and see you. But I don't know if you will allow me to come home. There's an apple tree next to a railroad, and that railroad goes right by our farm, our home, and would you be so kind as just to put a ribbon on that apple tree? And when a train goes by and if there's a ribbon on that apple tree, I know I can't come home. And then a few days later, knowing the father has received the letter, he takes a journey. And when he approaches the farm, he has no strength to look. What if there is no ribbon? Otherwise, I am not lovable. I am just in my dungeon, in my cocoon, with my hurt, having done wrong, or not even having done wrong, it's just confusion, brokenness and strife. He's asking one of the fellow passengers, smallest, maybe he saw his agony, that would you look for me? We come to this farmhouse and this apple tree. Would you look if there's a ribbon on that tree? And short time later, a man turns, or a woman, I don't recall, to this young man, says that, son, the whole tree is covered with ribbons. And the kingdom of God, when it comes, it's simply invitation. Come. I want to give you life. I want you to handle me, to touch me, to hear my words. For God is love, and in him there's no darkness. He's all light. And if we follow in this light, we walk not in darkness. But if we are selective, if we say God's peace to those only that say God's peace to us, what are we but men? When even angels, Christmas night, peace on earth, because God has goodwill. Everything from him is to serve and to help. And he brings the truth, and here comes then the struggle. For many are there that reject it. He associates with sinners and tax collectors. I would have something more to say, but listen. God is love. And like Apostle Paul would say, if God loves me, he can love you too. If God loves Arvo, he can love Mattis and Heikkis and Sirkas and Hilias and where's the end? Put your name there and say, like last night, hallelujah. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. In Jesus' name, amen.